Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now 321 shopping days left until Christmas, and you know what that means. That means it's time for yet another season of Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies.
Good Lord, they just keep happening.
And TV shows all year round. Yes, we are recording this on Groundhog Day. It does keep happening. Hi, everybody. My name is Joseph Wade. I'll be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight are my co-hosts, Johnny Five, the human robot.
I've recorded 700 episodes in a row today. But today's also been 700 days long. Can someone help me?
We have been discussing the same film for 10,000 years, as it turns out. And maybe this is the one we'll finally break the cycle. Mr. Bradford is here as well. Brad, what's going on?
Not much. I think Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow, which means we're in for 6 more weeks of winter here in the Northern Hemisphere. thank you. John just sent over a picture that it's a storefront on a main street. And it's saying, let it snow on each window pane. There's a letter, but they've intentionally split it up. There's a column. So L-E and then tit snow is on the other side. So it really reads la tits now.
It's a wonderful joke. I love it.
And you know what? I am absolutely here for it because it's one of those things where it's a sly little wink because you can't get mad at it because it's the holiday spirit. Sure, they could have shifted the entire pattern down 2 windows, but that wouldn't have been fun.
But you know, as the kids say, if you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
That's right. That's the energy that we want to bring into 2023 on the season of Christmas Creeps. Oh, man. So before we get into our feature presentation this week, we have one bit of listener mail that we'd like to get to. And oddly enough, again, the same thing happened this time last year because our listener friend Mike K from Chicago replied to our episode that we produced last year at his request for Christmas Every Day. To once again wish us a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and whatnot, but
it keeps happening.
It keeps happening. Yes,
no, he was happy for it.
He was quick to point out that because of his work schedule, he only had time to listen to one episode, and this year it just happened to be the one that he sprung upon us. So, thanks for that, Mike. Anywho. If you'd like to send us a letter or email, anything you'd like, you can send that to us at xmascreeps@gmail.com. And I'll take this opportunity now to say, if you don't follow us on Twitter, that might be for the best because Twitter appears to be burning down in real time now. I know we've said that for the last like 6 months, but it actually appears to be happening.
So can you explain something to me?
Okay.
We're getting into this. I saw the thing where like, people are like the right wing griftosphere are like turning their accounts private because apparently Twitter's so broken that you get more engagement when your account is private. Is it like a weird like Mew under the like? There's no. What is going on?
I've seen a number of people posting this and discussing this and tagging Elon Musk in it, and I don't know if it's true or if it's just like a weird in-joke that only they understand.
But the point is, like, even though they've set their accounts as private, you can still see them. So that's broken.
Oh, yeah, that's... Well, I don't know, because is it true, or is that just the people who are posting screenshots are followers of these people?
I don't know.
I genuinely don't know. How deep does the grift go? We don't know.
It's grifts all the way down. If there's one thing I've learned about this world, it's grifts all the way down.
Jonathan Five, do you have any insight into this?
You have a bunch of right-wing idiots that are idiots, and they're mainly complaining that the libs who all left the site because the site sucks aren't getting mad at their posts enough anymore. Like, they're not, that's the engagement they want. They don't want people to agree with them. They want people to get mad at them because that's how you own the libs.
Right.
And they're convinced that, which, considering the site's run by people who currently who have no idea what the fuck they're doing with regards to running the site or how any of it works, they very well could have broken something to the point where setting your account private does, for whatever reason, actually make posts appear the right way, because they've screwed around, from what I understand, with all of the timeline shit with Twitter Blue and all of that, all of the assorted nonsense he's thrown at it in the past, whatever, has just all managed to break different things in different ways that nobody left understands.
Right, yeah. Like, when you load up Twitter now, it defaults to the For You tab. And the first, like, three tweets I see on my For You tab are from 1 hour ago and 23 hours ago and 27 minutes ago. So cool. That could just be my feed being weird, or it could just be Twitter has no idea what to show me at any given time anymore. But the following tab is where you'll get your real uncut, you know, Twitter experience as you would like it to be. So welcome to Twitter chat, everybody. This is just the new tack that we're taking.
We should probably I'm sorry, I didn't mean to open this can of worms. I thought it was gonna be more succinct than this.
No,
the lesson here to take is the people running it, the person running it, because he's fired everybody, he has no fucking idea what he's doing. He is trying to basically flail his way back to status quo like he's done with every other fucking business. Like, I don't know how Tesla had to, like, take the time to discover for themselves why cars didn't really have tires, but I'm sure that they had to. I'm sure they tried to. What if it just was a solid block for a while? They're like, no, people got to sit in it, and the block has to roll places. So they had to engineer their way back towards that.
Like the Cybertruck is almost literally what a Canadian car from South Park looks like. And I feel like that was on purpose, but why was it on purpose?
No, my thing is, when you get in the Cybertruck, what I worry about is, like, if you duck in it, everyone else in the truck dies, and then you get banned from the Nipper Map server. A joke for nobody.
That's, yeah, that's, good lord. Anyway, all I was trying to say was that if you're going to follow us on Twitter, maybe don't follow us on Facebook or Instagram or Spoutable, I guess, whenever that launches, because it's probably going to be more usable than Twitter at this point.
What's a Spoutable?
Spoutable is the new Twitter alternative that's being developed by people who used to work at Twitter.
I think it
launches like in the next couple of weeks or so. So we might get a Spoutable account. We might not. But hey, you know what? If you really want to talk to us, the best way to do it, go to our show notes and find our Discord link, because we will definitely talk at you on Discord.
Yes. Also, thank you so much for sending that lovely email, Mike.
Yes.
Thank you, Mike.
You will not hear this for another year, and that's okay. But when you do hear it, you know, we appreciate you.
Hey, give the man a break. He's busy down in the pinball mines.
Oh, no. I know. I'm just being realistic. Like, you know, next Christmas when he hears this, you know, yes. Merry Christmas, sir.
Yeah, somebody has to find all the balls for multiball.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to forestall the inevitable again, because, hey, guys, guess what? New year, new me. No, just kidding. I'm still going to eat gross candy on the podcast.
What do you got for us?
This comes courtesy of my girlfriend, Nikki. So you know it's going to be good. This is a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese gummies.
Oh, my God.
That she said I had to share with you guys on the show. So I'm going to crack this bad boy open.
Kraft?
Are these Archie McPhee or?
I need to look at these.
Okay.
Kraft macaroni and cheese gummies. Because I can mess with a gummy. And I do have the blue, or at one time when I was a young child, I did have the blue box blues. So.
I currently, I currently have the blue box blues because
because this candy is going to be very bad.
Oh, it's going to be the worst. And if my phone cooperates with me, I can send this to you.
So here's the thing while you send that over. There's a way to not mess this up. Okay. There's a way to make this good. Because have you ever put honey in macaroni and cheese?
No.
Oh my god. Okay, those look pretty dire.
This is an official licensed product. Oh.
Yeah.
So if you ever find yourself making a pot of macaroni and cheese, maybe as one does sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not telling tales out of school. Sometimes as an adult, in the quiet hours, in the privacy of my own home, I will occasionally make a box of, you know, mac and cheese with the powder and all that.
Yeah.
And especially because we have a daughter. It's easy to, the stuff is everywhere. I would highly advise putting a small swirl of honey in there. Try it out.
Is that to cut like the saltiness of it?
It cuts the saltiness of it, but it just develops the flavor a little bit.
Okay.
Give it a shot. Let me know what you think.
Cooking tips from us to you.
Frankfurt is the company that makes all of the weird licensed candy, right? Like the Fruity Pebbles candy bar and stuff like that.
Is that them? I think so.
How is it?
The first thing, the most off-putting thing is that it's sweet.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
My fear was that I was going to get hit in the face with like the smell of the cheese, but you really don't get any of that.
See, if they leaned a little bit, excuse me, if they leaned a little bit more into like the salty and sweet together, I think they could pull it off. But if it's just sweet, not so much.
Yeah, it's just generic gummy in the shape of a macaroni.
Oh, that sucks.
It really kind of does. Like, I was expecting this to be like one of those Jelly Belly Bean Boozled things where it's just like, oh, here's all the grossest flavors in the world crammed into one box.
So
no, not really.
Is there any element of cheese in it?
Not that I can tell, no.
Well, that's
this is a little disappointing because this is it's pretty much just like, yep, that's a gummy. That's a sugary gummy.
It's the shape and the color is the only thing that's macaroni and cheese adjacent. You know what I want to bet this is?
What?
Some machine that they had malfunctioned and it started putting out elbow shaped noodle shapes. And they're like, well, we already have the cast for this machine. What kind of license can we get to make macaroni shaped gummies?
Oh man, we broke the peach ring bowl in half.
I think that might be it. I think they have a malfunctioning peach ring machine, and they decide when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade.
Yep. Well, that's an experience I'm not soon going to forget.
Lovely. Does it even have? So it's just generic sweet. It doesn't. They're not like peach flavored.
No, there's orange. No discernible like. No, it's not even orange flavored. It's just like a generic sweet gummy.
Ugh.
And like, I would honestly kind of, I would rather it have some sort of a cheesy flavor or texture, but it doesn't.
At least they'd be trying something.
It's like, it's
bold.
This is like what space aliens would feed you to try and approximate Earth food. Like it looked like mac cheese.
Did you check in the box, make sure there's not a packet of cheese in there?
Oh, you may be on to something. Okay, we need you to go. Do you have shaky Parmesan in your fridge?
Guys, I am not leaving my seat. Fuck you.
This is turning into the Torture Joe with food. This is like when little kids like find, you have a cat or a dog and they come up, little kids come over to your house and they try to feed it like things a dog or a cat shouldn't eat. We're going to do that with Joe now.
Bradford, tell me that small children have not tried to feed Charles gross things.
No, we put the kibosh on that. I mean, okay. It's been discussed, but I've shut it down.
What if you tried them with ketchup?
Ugh.
Now you're talking. Now we're cooking with gas. If we mix these with ketchup, I might kill myself. So no, I'm still not going to do it. But that's an idea. Ugh.
Well, we have one more piece of business before we get on to the movie, I think.
Oh, no, do we?
Yeah, yeah, just a can check.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What is everybody working with tonight?
I've got a Hardywood gingerbread stout. And I honestly cannot remember what I had for our Christmas episode. I hope it wasn't the same thing, because I usually make it a point of pride not to repeat the same drink.
Well, you know, it's been long enough. Who even remembers?
Yeah, it was a whole year ago.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. All right.
J-Man, what about you?
This is either one of those like Orbit sodas from the 90s or a lava lamp.
I mean, it's got the bottle cap on it either way, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Joe?
I'm going to be the basic boy tonight. I went to Zaxby's for dinner and I had a sweet tea, and I'm still working with that right now. Mm. Zaxby's sweet tea. Can't go wrong. I will say, though, earlier tonight I had, so it's the brand of carbonated water called Liquid Death.
Oh, yeah.
And I had the lime version. And I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting it to just be carbonated water. Oh, and it occurred to me very quickly that I am definitely drinking the soda water for men. And
yeah, I mean, yeah. They've got some flavors that are okay. I got one at a rest stop on the Pennsylvania Turnpike one once. And it was kind of a bougie flavor. It was like acai berry or something like that. It was all right.
Okay, well, that's something. But like the green skull in the can and all this liquid death fruit, like it's ridiculous. Just trying to convince Bubba to drink a soda water. They have
a still water version too, right?
Yeah, it's just water, right?
Oh, it's a grift. It's a big old grift.
I felt so stupid. I mean, it's fine. It's soda water.
Yeah, you got to try it once, maybe. I don't know, all
I can say is now I know.
Now you know. Now you know the rest of the story.
Yeah. Just violence. Yeah. Hey, speaking of violence, how about that Violent Night?
That is the movie that we watched for this show.
Yeah, we got the Redbox Blues now.
Oh, very good. Yeah, this is happy Red Boxing Day, everybody. We haven't done one of these in a minute, where we'll dig down to the bottom of the Redbox to see what the latest holiday offerings are here.
And jump the fuck in.
Yeah, jump the fuck in, boyos. Violent Night is a movie that seems like it was tailor-made for specifically us.
I mean, given that we are white males between the ages of 25 and 40, yes. Yes, it has been made for us.
That too. But I more mean, like, if somebody had listened to our podcast and said, I'm going to write a movie for those guys,
I don't know.
I don't think you could have gotten much harder on the nose than Violent Night.
It's a thing. Yeah, no, it's absolutely like that. Mm-hmm. It's doing that. Oh, you know what it's doing. You know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I also, when you say it was written for us, I'm like, as a treat or as a punishment? A little bit of both, maybe?
It's that one. It's a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
In conclusion, Violent Night, I'm going to keep saying Violent Night. Violent Night is a land of contrasts.
Yeah. I was going to try to make like a purple joke, but it wouldn't come out. So instead, yeah, my initial reaction when the trailers for this first started to come around was what I had just said, like, oh, someone's trying to cater a movie directly to us. And I don't particularly like being advertised to like that. So I was immediately kind of put off by what this purported to be.
Oh yeah. We are of the generation that dislikes being pandered to specifically and directly.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
right.
Oh yeah. What if Die Hard, but Santa Claus?
I am shocked that they did not reference Die Hard in this movie, or if they did, I missed it.
Oh, bud, they did. And you missed it.
Oh, thank goodness I missed it.
I'll go ahead and say right now, they reference Live Free or Die Hard, but not Die Hard itself.
Okay, that must be why I missed it. Okay. In that case.
You know the scene in Live Free or Die Hard when he throws a fire extinguisher down the hall and shoots it so that it blows up and knocks the guy through a window?
Yeah.
Yeah, that literally happens here. Like, almost verbatim.
Okay, so it wasn't, but nobody, like, mugs at the camera and says, "This is a good day to, you know, whatever."
Yeah, exactly.
Bugs Bunny winks at the camera and...
Well, there's a one-off, just, like, throwaway aside line about, like, when he's pulling presents out of the bag, one of them is a Blu-ray copy of Die Hard.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and that too.
Then there's a couple of, like, the kind of thing where it's like, you have to know your Die Hard script to know that they're making a reference, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
He says something about, like, he calls him a security guard who's seen one too many action movies.
Yeah, that was a pretty direct
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Which, yeah, it's not the most obscure, but it's like, you kind of have to have a little bit of Die Hard brain, at least, to realize that, I would say.
So, I guess what we're really saying...
You too, Lucy, don't you?
Yeah, what we're really saying here is, like, they've done their homework, but they're not trying to be, like, in your face and obvious about it.
Yeah, nobody's looking right at the camera and being like, this is, like, a bad movie.
Yeah.
So Kevin Smith didn't direct it. It was Tommy Wiseau.
Might as well have been. Is Tommy Workola, who is a director that I am specifically not a fan of. I think he makes movies based on, like, what if this cool idea without any idea how to pull off that idea. Specific.
Hit me with some of his other works.
Okay, so first off, there's Dead Snow, which is the movie about zombie Nazis, for one.
All right.
And the second is Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
Ah, I see where we're going with
this.
That's
the one.
I already see the arc of his oeuvre.
And now Violent Night. So it's you've got these wacky kind of ideas for movies, which, okay, like any reasonable person would say, yes, that's a fun idea. Let's do it. And this is just my personal opinion. He's not a good enough director to know how to pull those ideas off.
Gotcha.
Having said that, this is, I think, the closest he's ever come to nailing it. Because this was actually not terrible. I did not hate this movie as much as I thought I would.
Same. Of course, you know, we're jaded. I go in expecting to hate almost every single movie we end up watching, so...
That's true. Like, every movie is immediately fighting an uphill battle with us, and I feel a little bit bad admitting that, but it's kind of true.
Hey, especially with a movie like this, you're kind of expecting it to be extra, like, just...
Extra?
Yeah, like, you're kind of expecting Santa to just be nothing but, like, swears and quips and decapitations, and there are plenty of that, but it's like, he actually is a character on top of that, which is nice.
Yeah.
That's the thing, like, the movie actually takes its time to develop Santa Claus as a real character, and I was not expecting that. Coming out of this, especially considering that the Santa Claus in this movie is played by David Harbour, who, you know, after Stranger Things, is like, he is who I want to be when I grow up, and I'm not sure what that says about me, but there it is. And he's a great Santa Claus. I actually had a really great time with him in this one.
He's my second favorite killer Santa after Christmas Evil, I would say.
Mm. So if the idea behind the Christmas Chronicles is this Santa fucks, the idea with the Santa Claus in Violent Night is this Santa fucking kills people.
And indeed he does.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
The backstory is he's like a bandit before he becomes Santa Claus.
He's
like a brigand or
he's
something.
He's basically a Viking, right?
Yeah, kinda.
Kind of a Viking.
He's a land Viking. which would be known as like a brigand or a bandit, I guess.
I suppose.
I don't know. I don't know enough about Vikings. Viking verse, feel free to correct me.
There's a very Norse kind of feel to his tattoos and his get up and his
sure.
All
he's
of
got
his
a bunch of
stuff.
Like Celtic knot stuff going on in his tattoos, and he's got a hammer that he named.
Yes.
I will say this. I think it was the Santa characterization that they do is good. I'm glad they did not go into him, like, becoming Santa.
Yes.
Like, his origin story. They just go into, he used to kill a bunch of people, now he's Santa Claus. And that shows a lot of restraint, and I'm glad of it.
So I guess at this point in the show, I'm just going to go ahead and say, like, blanket spoiler alert. If you want to go watch Violent Night before the rest of the show, go and do it, because I think we're going to talk about a lot of the back end of the film here in a minute.
Yeah, that being said, I mean, yeah. Anyways,
I'm going to go ahead and say it. Like, I'm going to recommend this because, like, as dumb and kind of, you know, obvious as a lot of it is, it's still a pretty good time. So I would kind of lightly recommend it. But So actually, the first thing that confused me, and I got confused right away, the first two scenes in the film. So the first scene in the film is it's Christmas Eve and Santa Claus is taking a break, correct?
He's at a pub in Bristol. He's in England.
Right. And he's taking a break, having a few brewskis before he hits the road, quote unquote. And then the next morning, we cut to the main characters, the main family, who are arriving at mom's house for Christmas Eve.
You're saying this is not the way that time works.
This is not the way that time works.
That I also caught that.
And I wonder if it's gotta be on purpose. It's too obvious a mistake to not be on purpose.
Especially in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yes. Well, and so, like, if they're trying to say, like, okay, time works differently with Santa Claus, like, okay, sure. Like, I'm maybe willing to accept it, because also this, you know, Santa makes the point of, you know, he has this whole speech about how greedy and terrible children are in these days. And before he leaves the bar, he says, you know, this might very well be his last Christmas.
Yeah.
So those are the stakes for him personally.
And then he throws up on the bar, the barkeep.
Yeah. Smash cut to the opening titles, and yeah, we're off and running.
We're off to the races, and we meet the world's most terrible family, the Lightstones.
The Lightstones, who I have already forgotten all of their names, and I just watched this yesterday.
Well, three of them are named Gertrude, so that helps.
Yeah, you don't need to know too much.
That's true.
There's Big Mom, Big Mama Lightstone. She's the boss.
Who's played by Ellen Griswold herself, Beverly D'Angelo. So you got a little bit of a Christmas connection there.
Yeah. So she's the one what has all the money. So, you know, they're in this big mansion, fabulously wealthy. And our introduction to her, she's beating down somebody on the phone, screaming at them on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And her house is big, and she has a catering company there on Christmas Eve for just her family, just her immediate family, which is an interesting choice.
She has oil money is the best way to put
it. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yes.
They're
Oscar's
oil.
Oscar's attacking the microphone. I am surrounded by cats.
Hey, kitty. I hope your cats are feeling better.
They are.
Good. So they got the big bucks, and we are introduced to kind of the sort of secondary main character
of the family. Yeah, mm-hmm. She has two kids. She has a son named Jason, and a daughter. I want to say her name is Alva.
Sounds
right.
And Alva is, I'm assuming, divorced, the way it's played, because she's with a guy who is, he's Derek Zoolander, basically. I think his character name is Mike Steele, maybe?
Yes, I think that's right.
And she has a son, because they are all, like, buttering up the mom. Her son is named Bertrude.
I thought that was a pretty good gag, actually.
I liked it.
Not bad, yeah.
And he's the kind of kid that says the word hashtag, like, out loud.
He's like a TikTok influencer. Or what millennials think TikTok influencers act like, I guess.
Yeah, he's a kid who's on Instagram, which does not track, because I think he's doing the Instagram thing.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know. Jason's ex-wife Separated X, something like that, is Linda, and their daughter is Trudy.
Right.
Short for Gertrude.
Gertrude, yeah.
So, and that's the family.
That's the family.
So if there's said to be the Al Powell analog in this film is Trudy, correct?
Yes. She is Santa's right-hand person throughout this entire film, and they're on a mic together.
That's actually a kind of a cute little setup too, because she makes note that, you know, her dad forgot to take her to see Santa Claus at the mall, and dad feels bad about that, so he goes and breaks out a walkie-talkie and says, "This is a magic walkie-talkie that lets you talk directly to Santa Claus." And she buys that, and it's very sweet. But, oh, you better believe that comes into play later. And I'm actually really glad that the movie takes the time to cash that one out, because it's almost too stupid, but it works.
Well, I think the thing that's stupid about it is, we'll get into it, but Santa ends up getting a walkie-talkie off of the first bad that he kills.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, it picks up Trudy's signal. Like, they're unencrypted, and they're talking, but they're yet... Yeah, it's... Anyways.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He just happens across, you know, the other end of that conversation.
Yeah.
But it works, and it's very sweet. His interaction with Trudy and the friendship that develops. And, yeah, so... the catering company turns out to be a criminal organization that is dead set on robbing the Lightstones of all of their $300 million fortune.
Because, heist, or in cash.
Heist.
Yes.
And so, okay, so this crew all have Christmas-themed code names. You got Krampus, you got Gingerbread, you got Candy Cane, and you've got... the leader, Scrooge, who is played by John Leguizamo. And most of these people are your, like, cookie-cutter, dumb bad guy in an action movie. Except for John Leguizamo, who seems to realize that he's in a real movie. Because he really brings his A-game into being a real piece of work.
I like John Leguizamo lately in things I've seen him in. It's really weird to look at him in this or like John Wick and be like, he's having fun with what he's doing. And then like, this is the guy who did the fucking Pest.
I just kept watching him going like, Luigi, what are you doing? But so not only does he, you know, have this axe to grind with the Lightstones and he wants their money, I'm going to accidentally call them Lightyear at some point. I just know it. So I'm just going to Lightyear or Flintstone.
The Lightfoots.
Gordon Lightfoot. Yeah. But yeah, he's got an axe to grind with the family. But then once Santa Claus enters the picture, we discover that he's got an axe to grind with Santa Claus, too.
He hates Christmas.
He friggin' hates Chris. He hates this holiday. Oh, man.
It kind of like, yeah, it's dumb, but it kind of works. Because there's a scene late in the film where he realizes he has an opportunity to kill Santa Claus and end Christmas forever. And it's like the plot point of like a bad children's movie. And yet it's in this, you know, this hard R action film.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it somehow it works.
And I'd have to point out right here that like he almost directly references one of the recent Halloween movies when he says Christmas dies tonight. Cause in Halloween Kills, like the catchphrase that everyone says in that movie is evil dies tonight. So like, yeah, that's
somehow managed to have a whole fucking movie after that too.
Yeah. It just keeps like every time you think the movie's over, it keeps going. It keeps going and gets more ridiculous, which I guess is a positive, because like, you know, the worst thing a movie can do is keep going and be boring. But Violent Night finds a way to raise the stakes every single time, and I appreciate that. But yeah, the way Santa Claus enters this story, is that he just happens to be at the house while it's being invaded, and he he falls asleep in a massage chair, so nobody knows that he's actually in the back room.
Yeah, I guess time would work different for Santa, maybe. Maybe that's what this is all about.
Maybe so.
The other element that I can say I appreciate a bit about how this is set up or how Santa is portrayed in this movie is all of his stuff, like his bag and the reindeer and the naughty and nice list. He has no idea how it works. He's just like, yeah, it just is what it is, man.
Yeah, like, I'm don't the guy ask who's
Santa.
Don't ask me. I don't know.
And they don't take any further strains to like go into how he acquired any of these magical powers. He doesn't seem to care. He's just like, yeah, I gotta deliver the presents. Here's the bag of holding.
He must have bludgeoned the shit out of some dude and stolen his coat, and it just turns out he got hit by the Santa Claus.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
It's a good fit for David Harbour as well, too. Like, there's like an element of apathy, but like he still cares at the very bottom of it. I don't know. It's nice.
Yeah, he's a drunk with a heart of gold, basically.
Yes.
This guy. But I also appreciate that his Santa Claus is like not a modern guy at all. Like, even though he's been alive for a thousand years or whatever, he has not caught up with the times like one bit.
He doesn't know how to fire a gun.
He doesn't know how to drive a car. He's just kind of
calls them gizmos.
Befuddled by all these gizmos. Yeah.
I also love that half the things he pulls out of his bag are just video games.
Yeah, and he hates it.
He hates it so much. But it never veers into like boomer like angst, which is thank you. Thank you for doing that movie. Thank you for not doing that, I should say.
It so easily could have. And it almost does. There's a scene in like his delivering toys montage where he looks at like the kids' Christmas list and all it says is cash, 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 video games.
And it's like, yeah, but they don't hark on it, or they don't harp on it too much, so it's whatever.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it is what it is.
Yep.
No shame in that. A little shame. Some shame.
Yeah, I feel he's mainly grumping about just like, I'm tired of giving the same two gifts to every single child on Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cash and video games. So, yeah, I mean, at that point in the film, it literally becomes Die Hard. He's the fly in the ointment that none of the bad guys know about, and one by one, he starts picking them off.
So there's some dialogue between the mercs doing merc stuff, doing their heist, and it's not great. Basically, the thing you need to know is that any scene with David Harbour Santa is very good and worth watching, and any scene where he is not present is something you need to
be asking, where's Santa?
Yeah, you it's something you have to suffer through in order to get back to the Santa kills.
It really is unfortunate, isn't it?
It's pretty dire.
The
family stuff between the family is not particularly good either.
Almost to the point, and I know I mentioned this to you, Brad, like the family stuff seems like somebody watched Knives Out and said, like, there's not enough murder in this movie.
It's very reminiscent of Knives Out in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
They're all pretty much the only people that aren't just completely awful wretches of a person are Trudy and Trudy's mom, who married into the family and basically wants out.
Yeah, they don't deserve any of this.
Yeah. All the family stuff is pretty dire. There's, you know, family, rich family drama going on. They're both gunning for, you know, Big Mom's favor, I guess you could say.
True, yeah.
And it's all very, you just have to get through it to get to the Santa kills. So he offs two people, I believe, and then is the first person that he comes across gets impaled on an icicle. Good kill.
Solid kill.
And then in the second fight in a rec room, is a bit more of a protracted fight. He discovers a walkie-talkie on one of the mercs, and he's messing around with the walkie-talkie because it's got the heist people talking on it, and he comes across Trudy's channel, and Trudy is has headphones, but she's in the main room. All of the mercenaries have put the family in the main room to keep them from messing up the plan because they have to hack into this vault. And Trudy's there in the main room and she comes across Santa. And, you know, Santa looks into the room and can see Trudy's concerned face and he wants to help out Trudy. So he's doing his best to both survive the night and also kind of help out Trudy.
For the children.
For the child. Because there's really only... Gertrude doesn't count.
No.
He's a TikTok teen.
Like,
he doesn't deserve Santa's love.
If Trudy was not a part of this family, Santa would have...
Santa would be making tracks. He'd be hitting the bricks.
And this would have been a much different night for everybody.
Yes, indeed. Where were we?
Oh, I do enjoy the bit where so the goon whose nickname is Krampus decides that he wants to torture the family a little bit. So he makes them all open their presents to the mother. And so he gets to relish how much they all hate each other, because like
that was an okay scene. That one was probably the best family like, only scene.
Alva gives mom a portrait of the day she was born.
And
mom's just like, yeah, I know, I was there.
And then Mike Steele, or was it Matt? Is it Mike Steele?
Mike or Morgan or Mitchell? Or,
yeah,
or something.
Her actor boyfriend gives her a pitch deck for his latest film, like his latest film that he wants her to finance. And then you're gonna have to remind me of the son's name.
Son number John. One. I don't know.
Jason. Okay. Jason gives her a bottle of her favorite whiskey with a note card. And this is kind of important later, but not really, because we don't really care about the family stuff. We just want to watch Santa use a hammer to smash a man's head in. But it's what we have to suffer through.
Yeah.
This is our broccoli that we need to eat so that we can get to the pudding.
There's like a vague insinuation earlier that he was basically going to tell his mom to fuck off in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
Yeah.
And it kind of gets, well, obviously the card is that, is that, but yes. We don't get to know what it is.
Right.
True.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
Santa in his altercation. Oh, sorry.
No.
Santa's altercation in the rec room gets shot in the side and he has to go patch himself up. And he sort of, while he's doing this, or after he does this, sort of hatches a plan with Trudy, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Trudy runs out of the room after being told that Santa isn't real.
That's right.
And she's hiding in the attic, and Santa tells her, yeah, just go build some, like, she's like, can I build some Home Alone booby traps? And he's just like, yeah, sure, whatever, just be quiet about it, you know?
Yes.
And she does indeed build some Home Alone-ass booby traps. Trudy gets one kill and one assist in this movie. The child gets one kill and one assist.
Yes, one genuine. It's not every day you get to watch a Christmas movie where a child murders somebody.
Yeah,
but it happened.
I mean, did she? She set the trap.
No, she set the trap, and the trap was sprung, and she killed this man.
Yes, she did, and she did get an assist.
Yes, so. Trudy's on the board, as it were.
Trudy's got a KD. Spoiler alert.
Oh boy. But I mean, the main set piece in this film, the one that like is basically, I assume, how they sold the film. Santa, you know, escapes to the tool shed out back, or the barn or whatever, finds himself a sledgehammer, and proceeds to murder the entire kill squad that has arrived to assist in this operation.
Who is also in on it, who was originally supposedly coming to rescue the...
Yes.
Lightstones. Hooray.
Hooray! And he kills all these people to the tune of Bryan Adams' Christmas Time, which is a pretty fun little needle drop. But this is what everyone's here for, and they give it to you almost more than you need. But it's fun.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like, how big is this is the shed that, like, these other guys don't hear the commotion and they all just are just still going in, like, their little two-person squad formations all around?
Yeah, there's one point where a wood chipper is used, or a snow plow, or no.
It's a snow plow, yeah.
Yes, or a snow blower.
Yeah.
A snow blower is used to kill two folks, and that doesn't tip off the others.
No, somehow. Not in the slightest. But it's gross and gory and glorious and incredibly stupid. And at this point, I have well and truly given up trying to nitpick the movie because, like, okay, I'm on board enough that I'm here for it. I'm along for the ride.
We have suspended our disbelief. This is an adult Looney Tune featuring Santa at this point.
Yes.
Ugh. Like, this is it is what it is. This is the ride you have come along for.
And once all hell finally breaks loose and it's just, you know, hey Santa, kill the rest of the people. Yeah, that happens. And then it becomes actually deathly serious because the fight between Santa and John Leguizamo is graphic and gruesome and goes on way too long.
The other justification that they give for this, not that we need one, is that they're all on the naughty list.
Yes.
And Trudy's on the nice list. And Trudy's Christmas wish turns from, I want my parents to get back together, to, I want everybody to stay safe. Please punish them, Santa.
Yes.
Please take the coal and stick it up their anuses, as she says.
Yes.
And that was a fun little exchange with the, he's like, butthole is borderline.
Yeah, I was like, well, anus? Okay, yeah, sure. Sure.
That's the anatomical term.
I appreciate, though, the use of Santa's magical naughty list as his way of seeing who is still left to kill.
It's very good. I guess it functions on proximity. It's very good. Because the kill squad rolls up and he rolls out his list and it's adding more folks. It's it's good touch.
It's great. Oh man. See, I was so down on this, but reminiscing about all of the fun little bits about it, I don't know. I'm having a good time here. And I wonder what that says about me and my critical thinking skills right now.
I think they got us.
I think they kind of got us dead to rights here, guys. But anyways. I mean, like, I don't want to. No. I do want to talk about the ending because one thing in particular.
You don't want to talk about how the fight ends in the best kill in the movie, probably?
Bradford, tell us, how does the fight end?
So earlier in the film, he does reveal that he has the Santa magic where he can touch the side of his nose and fly up a chimney. And this fight is taking place in, like, the ruins of an old cabin that used to be on the property with a chimney.
Mm.
And as the fight reaches its conclusion and David Harbour Santa is kind of on his last legs, he bear hugs Mr. Scrooge and then does his little nose magic and pulls his torso upwards through the chimney, disfiguring it. Like, breaking it into several pieces. It's brutal.
And it's just he just pops out the other side and it's just raining blood.
with like golden Christmas magic sparkles. It's a thing. And it's juvenile, and it's dumb, and it's
Santa telefrag John Leguizamo.
Exactly. It's
a Mortal Kombat.
I shouldn't
kill
like it
at
as much as
film.
I do. What?
It's a Mortal Kombat finisher at the end of this film.
Essentially, I shouldn't like it as much as I did, and I don't like that I liked it as much as I did, but I did. So
it gets to just something deep in your lizard brain. It's like, yeah, that's how it had to have ended.
Yeah, it helps because it's one of those things where, like, John Leguizamo is absolutely remorseless throughout this entire movie.
Right. And once he gets to the point where he's like, I am going to murder Santa Claus, there's really no other way out.
Yeah. It's something, it's always refreshing in a movie where it's like, I do think sometimes movies need to let bad guys just be bad guys. You don't need to have everybody have any nuance. Like, no, you don't need it sometimes. And this movie, you didn't need it. Hell.
No, this guy's just a bastard what wants to kill Santa Claus.
Yeah, I mean,
Christmas.
Even his story about, like, why Christmas was ruined for him, like, part of the story is that he broke into someone's house and, like,
maybe pushed an old man down the stairs.
Yeah, at best, indirectly led to someone dying.
Right.
Yeah. So, we didn't need to know why he was out to get anybody in this film, but like, yeah, okay. I mean, if it'll justify Santa Claus killing him in the most gruesome fashion imaginable, okay. I mean, I guess. But then the ridiculous thing that I want to talk about is how after this happens, like the one last goon shows up to shoot and kill Santa Claus. And the entire family, once he's been dispatched, the entire family comes around and comes together and just basically watches Santa Claus die because like they don't know what to do. And they're all talking about, you know, well, I believe in Santa and I believe in Santa and I believe in Santa. Meanwhile, in my household, I'm sitting there and Nikki next to me is just like standing up and screaming, somebody do something. Like they're not doing CPR. They're not pressing pressure on the wounds. They're not doing anything. And she's just screaming at the TV.
And what is their solution they eventually arrive at, Joe?
I don't know how it works. It's just Christmas magic. He wakes up.
No, they burn the money.
Oh,
right?
Well, yeah. They burn all of the money. But also, they all begrudgingly say, I believe in Santa Claus. And just like in a Peter Pan story, he wakes up.
It's dumb.
And just says, like, yeah, I don't know how I'm back alive, but I'm back alive.
And then the reindeer come back, and they have another bag, because the first one got burnt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, with Skull Crusher. I thought he was going to give Skull Crusher to Trudy. I really thought he was, and I wish he had, but whatever.
I really wished that Skull Crusher had been inside the bag.
Yeah. That would have been fun.
Because that's what Hammer Space is.
Yeah.
And I love a good cartoon joke, but that didn't happen. That's okay.
Oh, well.
You can't have everything.
I hope this does not get a sequel. This needs to just stand on its own.
They're already writing a sequel. I'm going to say I hope they actually make a sequel and not some origins bullshit.
Oh. You know what's going to go into the origin story because that's what we do in 2023.
You know what I hope they... I both hope they do and don't do this. You know, multiverses are hot right now. And I kind of want David Harbour Santa to meet one of the other film Santas. Maybe Kurt Russell Santa.
That could be...
I'm going to go to bed.
You know, like maybe they can conspire to kill Tim Allen Santa, because whoever kills Tim Allen Santa and puts on the jacket becomes the one true Santa. Like, I guess what I'm pitching here is Crisis on Infinite Santas. And the fact that nobody else thinks this is funny tells me that I need to move on.
Well, okay. I mean, the title is going to be Show Ho 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 Down.
There you go.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know. Like, I feel like, I mean, we know that Santa Claus exists in the Marvel universe because he's in the Marvel comics at some point. So all I'm saying is, like, they could very easily do a Santa Claus multiverse movie, and I would probably watch it. That's a movie that would be made explicitly for us and that we would very much
not enjoy.
Very much not enjoy.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. Well, so yeah, that's Violent Night. Let's take it over to the Crankometer, which is our patented XY axis for rating Christmas movies.
By the way, we have a piece of business to attend to before we get into the Crankometer.
Oh, well, then hang on.
Did we take a moment to thank our good friend of the show, Booker, for creating the Crankometer chart for last year?
Officially.
Yes, we need to give a shout out to Booker for always taking pains to make that Crankometer chart. And yes. I think last year was our most positive year ever.
We liked most of the things that we watched last year. And folks, I'm going to say right now, I aim for that to change in 2023.
Please. I mean, it's good to watch things that I enjoyed more than I thought I would, but there are so many bad Christmas movies out there. We got to take some to task, you know?
Yeah, like I like things that I like, but there's a whole lot of garbage that we haven't even come close to touching yet.
Yeah, that It's a Wonderful Life's had too good of a had a free ride for too long. 15 minutes of the movie takes place on Christmas. Fuck this shit. The rest was all flashbacks.
I mean, that's true. That's a legitimate complaint. Yes, Booker, thank you so much for all the work that you do visualizing our crankometer. I really appreciate it, and I can't wait to see what 2023 looks like. However, having said that, let's get that started right now. So our crankometer is our patented XY-axis for rating Christmas movies. The X-axis is how Christmassy a film is, and the Y-axis is how good the film is. So, gentle friends, Violent Night, X-axis, how Christmassy?
The entire premise of the movie necessitates Christmas.
Yeah, and it's pretty Christmassy. And you got your licensed soundtrack going on. You got people coming home for Christmas. You got Santa Claus. What else do you need? It's very Christmassy.
It would be a very strange film to have Santa Claus fighting people and it's not Christmas.
On Arbor Day. And he got some Christmas kills, too, going on. He kills people with sharpened candy cane, Christmas star.
I did enjoy the Christmas star that gets jammed into the eye, and then Santa plugs the Christmas star in and electrocutes the guy's face off.
It's the guy catches on fire and burns.
Yeah.
It's pretty over the top. What else? Yeah, there's a lot of Christmas kills. There's a lot of Christmas theming. I'm obviously Santa is the main character. It's Christmassy as heck.
I'm gonna say it's a 5, but then I'm gonna deduct a point because they use the baby Jesus to kill someone.
Oh, you prude!
No, they use the baby Jesus to bludgeon somebody. They kill him with an icicle.
I do like the one-off gag where Santa walks up the nativity scene to borrow the sled, but before you see him like interact with the nativity scene, he's like, Jesus Christ. And then he just picks up the Jesus and takes it off of the manger to use as a sled.
Yeah.
It's a fun little gag. Good job. Good job, writers.
And two, after that, I will say I appreciate that Santa did not use the manger as a snowboard, but rather as a sled. Because the snowboard,
it's very more Santa-esque.
Yeah, the snowboard would have been a little too much, but as a sled, I'm okay with that.
Yes,
I'm A-okay. Okay, so I'm gonna follow on. This is a 5, but can we think of any excuse for why it shouldn't be?
I mean, there are saccharine moments in this movie.
It
may be to its detriment, but I don't think to the point where we need to deduct a point.
No,
this movie's Christmassy as fuck.
It definitely plays with the Christmas tropes, but it's doing it very much on purpose.
Right.
So, like, I'm okay with all of that.
I think a 5 is fine for this movie.
I think it earns it, yeah. It definitely earns it. So then the Y-axis, I mean, so this is the real nut of the question. How good is Violent Night? It's definitely not dipping into the negative, for sure. But
John, I wanted to hear your take on like what you thought overall of the quality.
It feels a tiny bit, but only a tiny bit, mean to say that it's not a very well made movie.
I think that's fair.
Like it's David Harbour and John Leguizamo kind of know what they're doing in terms of like we're just slumming it. Let's just choose some scenery, basically.
Oh, they carry this film.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
I would say that I wasn't expecting too much. Not even like, oh, this is going to suck. I was like, all right, what are they doing? Like, I don't know what I was expecting, to be honest. And I got something that, like, well, I watched the entire damn thing. Like I didn't get bored and be like I want to go do something else for a while and then I'll make myself finish this later,
right?
Which happens sometimes.
True.
Yeah, that was the case with me too. Is oftentimes I'll have to tap out halfway through. Didn't happen with this movie.
I will say it is a little bit long and it does kind of wear out its welcome by the end.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be a more than. It's like 112 10, minutes, I think.
Yeah, it's an hour and 50, if I recall.
Yeah, it's pushing 2 hours.
It's a little padded out, but not to. It's yeah.
It never really drags though. So
yeah, right. It's just he just kills a lot of people.
He does. So I hate to say this out loud on a podcast. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with Santa Claus killing a whole lot of people.
That's what you bought the ticket for, and they made good on it. You know, yeah, right. You came to watch David Harbour Santa commit some grisly murders against a bunch of bad guys, and that's what you got.
That's exactly what you got. Yeah. So
it does what it says on the tin.
That I was trying to think of that, but you got it. Yeah. But at the same time, it fumbles just enough to make me kind of roll my eyes every once in a while.
It's all the family stuff is not great. And all the mercs, when they're just interacting with each other, are very not great. There's a lot of really cringy dialogue that's not, like, it doesn't feel self-aware enough.
Like, the guy who played Krampus, he was kind of going for, like, unhinged, and he more just came off as, like, embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
See, now I realize at this point I'm trying to manufacture a reason to not like this movie. And at that point I have to admit to myself, like, yeah, I actually kind of liked it.
It's yeah. In spite of
this, this isn't anything I'm going to insist that, like, walk or run, don't walk type thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you don't need to see this, but, like, if the idea even piques you're just about watching, like, a low budget, stupid, like, Steven Seagal caliber, like, Santa is just gonna kill a bunch of henchmen movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
This is it.
If you want to grab a couple of beers and have a real good time, you could do a whole lot worse.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's gonna have to be where we fall on this. So I'm gonna say at least a 2, maybe a 3.
I'm gonna go with 2. You could have a fun time with this movie, but you can't, I don't think, afterwards be like, yeah, that was a
amazing time.
That was a high quality movie. I'm totally like sincerely recommending it to friends. Like, no, you need to see this movie.
Yeah, yeah. 2 is, I think 2 is fair.
Yeah. If the reindeer had shown up at the very end with the replacement bag and Santa had said, like, done a catchphrase like, Santa's got a brand new bag, I would have instantly given this a 1 and said, fuck it.
I would have gone to bed and said, like, y'all can just do this episode yourself.
But there's the movie, as much as this movie wants to be, like, so, like, edgy and cool, it knows when to restrain itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, this could have been some real, like, Deadpool-ass bullshit, and it's not, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln, Zombie Hunter, or whatever it is, this ain't.
I mean,
it is kind of, but it's not. It kind of is, but it's kind of, granted, I've never seen it or read, isn't it based on a book?
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. It is, but it isn't.
It is, yeah. It's the same kind of vibe, but...
I'll say they do enough of the legwork to establish a plausible enough premise that doesn't make you go, like, that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard, for why Santa might be kind of like a...
killer?
A rough, like...
hardened dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With being, like, a... You know, in my head, he's just, like, you know, a former, just, you know, murderer, pillager, what have you. That's just, like, I maybe had some sort of, like, come to Jesus maybe moment. And, like, this is his, like, punishment / penance is to, like, be Santa, more or less.
Right, yeah.
That's an explanation that could work. And, like... him again, still being just kind of like, you don't need the explanation, but, like, him at least having the background of, like, he used to be this, like, that guy, it helps out a lot rather than just, like, you know, Santa shows up and he's just like, he just like killing sometimes.
Yeah.
You can have a little of murder as a treat.
Yeah. having the very light explanation was a very good call on this movie's part, I think. No explanation would just be too much of a fucking meme. Like, that would turn into Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah.
And then, but too much would bog the movie down. I think they threaded the needle on this one.
They go the very textbook, just show, don't tell. They show you the glimpse of him, you know, in the flashback, and that's all you get.
Yes.
And it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's land. So it's a positive 5, positive 2 for Violent Night. You know,
so that, and sorry. Actually, I want to continue our tradition. I think I started it last episode. If you guys had to, oh, I was supposed to ask it before we started the movie.
Oh, that's right. We forgot all about that.
I need to make a mental note. But let's just put yourself in the mental space before you watch this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
If you had to guess what your crankometer score was going to be before you watched this movie, what would you think it was going to be?
I feel like mine would have been a solid like positive 4, negative 2.
Ah, that's exactly what I wrote down.
You really?
Yes, really.
Because like I really was going into this expecting this to be just some bullshit, and I was pleasantly surprised, but not so much that like I'm willing to say I love this movie, you know?
Right. Same.
So
John,
yeah,
about the same.
Yeah, I was thinking like a 2, negative 1. I think that I thought that on like first just like I read the blurb on IMDb type impressions, you know,
right.
My thought was going to be like, I'm going to be very annoyed when they look at the camera and be like, remember Die Hard? And I'm going to be like, yes, movie, I could go watch Die Hard right now.
Yes, yes, worst movie referencing a better movie. I do remember Die Hard.
But I instead, though, it
did what it said on the tin.
Yeah, and it does reference Die Hard more than a bit, but also it's not in ways where you don't have anybody, like I said, looking at the camera mentioning Die Hard. Like, you have a character named Thorpe, which is, like, one of the more, like, oh, I get it now things you can do with a reference like that.
Mm. But nobody's going around shouting yippee-ki-yay.
Yes.
I have a sledgehammer, yo-ho-ho, or ho-ho-ho.
I hadn't clocked that one, Thorpe, but I get it. I like that. Die Hard was based on a novel written by Roderick Thorpe.
Got it. Whoa.
Yeah.
Look at you boys.
I will say, though, if the movie had ended with Santa Claus, like, getting in his sleigh, and before he flies away, he says something like, you know, if this is how y'all celebrate Christmas, I gotta come back for New Year's. I would have appreciated that. You know,
right.
the lesser Die Hard references, you know, everybody knows Yippee-ki-yay, but not everybody quotes Argyle, you know?
Yeah.
Anywho. So, yeah, that's Violent Night. It's at your local Redbox right now. And if you're listening to this years from now, it's streaming somewhere, I'm sure. Now, if you'd like to email us anything, you can email us at xmascreeps@gmail.com. If you'd like to tweet at us while Twitter's still up and running, we're at Christmas Creeps. We're also at Christmas Creeps on Facebook and Instagram. And go to our show notes for this episode and join us on Discord, because I'm sure we'll have plenty more to say about this on Discord. Before we sign off, is there anything, final thoughts about anything, guys? The floor is yours.
The floor is lava. Your move, Brad.
Oh, sorry. I was just thinking about Hellshake Yeno.
Really stuck the landing on this one, guys.
Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it.
Good night, everybody.
Good luck editing this, Joe.
No, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. You have no idea how much we appreciate it.
All I can say right now is that I'm excited to be back doing this, because I love this show.
I missed this a lot.
All right, gentle friends. Well, for Christmas Creeps, I've been Joseph Wade.
I'm Bradford.
And I'm Johnny Five, the human robot, going to bed.
Good night, everybody.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.